A few days ago, I had the privilege of standing on the top of the Mount of Olives at the Dome of the Ascension, built very small, built over the rock from which our Lord is believed by Christians to have ascended to the glory of heaven. I wanted to say at the very beginning that myself and the pilgrims of this parish and from other places too, who went to the Holy Land and came back only a couple of days ago, 2 days ago, took you with us to every shrine that we visited throughout the 9 days we were there. You were part of our prayers in Nazareth, where the angel announced to Our Lady that God's plan of salvation was requesting her involvement as the mother of redemption. We remembered you in our prayers at Bethlehem, where our Lord was born. We remembered you in our prayers when we went to the Mount of Olives, when we went to Gethsemane, to the rock preserved inside the church, where our Lord endured his agony of fear prior to his death and was still faithful to the vocation his Father had asked him to undergo. We remembered you at Holy Mass on Mount Calvary, when we celebrated the dying and the rising of the Lord at the very place where he shed his blood out of love for you and for me. We remembered you in our prayers at the tomb of the resurrection, the shrine where our Lord burst death for good. We remembered you at Bethany, so significant to this parish because our parish center was named Bethany prior to our being able to acquire it for the use of the parish, where our Lord raised Lazarus from the dead. We remembered you at Emmaus, where he appeared to the two disciples, and they only realized who he was when he broke bread with them, and they understood. We remembered you at Galilee, where our Lord renewed the primacy of Peter after he had betrayed our Lord, and our Lord said to him, "Feed my lambs." In all of those places, we asked God's blessing for you. We asked God to strengthen your faith, as indeed he strengthened ours. It struck me on that morning at the Dome of the Ascension, where this little rock, it's very small, has been preserved, from which our Lord rose in his glory to the splendor of his Father. It struck me that there is a direct line that you can draw from the Annunciation, the moment that our Lord was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and not of man within the womb of Our Lady. You can draw a straight line from that moment to Gethsemane in his fear and agony, to Calvary where he died, but finally to the Ascension. And it's so simple. It's the inescapable conclusion of what happened in Nazareth, where our Lord was conceived. In that moment of the incarnation within Our Lady's own body, God adopted humanity to himself. Christ, the Son of God, the eternal Word, drew human nature to himself. From that moment on, what he did and where he went involves both humanity and divinity, perfectly bound together, distinct, not mixed up and joined in a confused sense, and yet perfectly united in the person of our Lord. What he did engages both the nature of God and us, which means at Gethsemane, in his fear, God experienced what you go through when you are afraid. We know fear because we endure it all through our lives. We've all known that leaden claw of fear in the pit of the stomach. We've all known what it's like to be terrified of what the next morning will bring. The incarnation declares to the world that the divinity, our creator, has been to that place. And not, as some would say, so that he could understand it by experiencing it. God does not need to understand the experience of human nature. He doesn't need to experience it. He knows it without experiencing it. The reason why he chose to undergo it was to sanctify it. So that when you are afraid, you know God has been to that place and made it a place where you can find him. He doesn't run from you when you're afraid. When you and I come to approaching our own death, that moment that can appear so godless, that can feel so empty of the almighty power of God, his death on Calvary ensures that the soul, infused with faith and grace, knows and understands God has been to that place and has sanctified the place of dying too. You can find God at the lowest experience of human nature, so that you can know for sure that he is with you every step of your life. Not just in the moments when you feel the presence of God, when you feel joyful, ecstatic, calm, peaceful, secure. Not just in those moments, but when you feel disturbed, when you feel upset, when you feel betrayed, when you feel close to death, he has been there. And you can find him there. That is the essence of the incarnation. But it's incomplete if you leave it there. The incarnation is not just about the divinity of our Lord walking through the low points of human nature. The whole point of the incarnation is that having done that, having united the Godhead to our experience of life, he then turns the tables. And that's what happens in the ascension. He then draws in his glorification as God to the heavenly splendor of our Father. He draws humanity with him. He takes his own human nature to the kingdom of heaven and allows his human nature to radiate the beauty of the Godhead. And in that, he lays the pattern of his creation in human nature. In it, he definitively declares to all of the world, this is what I have in store for you. This is why I made you. Not just so that you could live your time on this earth trying to find the grace of God and trying to live in holiness. I created you for more than that. I want you to do as I am doing for your humanity that suffers so much, one day to experience the full radiance of the divinity. In his ascension to the kingdom of heaven, Christ's humanity is so glorified and so radiated that when the church looks up into the kingdom of heaven and sees her one hope, which is our Lord, and calls on him for help, she looks up and she sees God, who is also one of us, who has human nature like ours, except it is perfect and holy. And we see in that, that is what he wants in us. That is what he's after. That's the whole purpose of our celebration of the Mass. That is the reason he calls us to pray. That is the reason we are asked time and time again, by conscience as well as by faith, to acts of self-sacrifice, to acts of mercy and forgiveness. That is why we engage in our daily devotions, our, our examination of conscience, our care for our neighbor, our actions to promote justice, to protect the vulnerable, in all these things, God is constructing within the soul that which is necessary to draw our human nature into the fullness of his Godhead. That is the destiny of the human person. All of the rest, all of the other worries we have, all of the other cares that occupy our minds and our lives day in and day out are as nothing in comparison. I look back and think, what I was worried about 3 weeks ago, I can't even remember today. They're over. They're finished. And yet at the time, they concerned me so much. In the ascension, God asks us to consider not the little things that engage us day to day, but the one question that matters. And that one question is the one he addresses to us now on the Feast of the Ascension. And that question is this: do you want me? That's what the Lord asks of us. Do you want me? Because in the Ascension, our Lord says, this is what I have for you: to radiate perfection, to receive absolute love, and to reflect it perfectly, to be glorified in a way we cannot even begin to imagine. He says to us, do you want this gift? The church's response in seeing and in pondering the mystery of the ascension, the church's response should be an unequivocal yes. To echo the words of Our Lady, let what you have said be done to me. All of the Christian life is the response that we give to that question of God. In a few moments, we will profess the creed. That is our response to God's question. When he says, do you want me? The church responds, I believe. God bless you all.